Make them actually opt into it and take a civic test before they get into this country. I think we should open the front door as much as we can for people who want to opt in, but close the door to the rest. Let's have a clear-headed debate about it. I think that can lead to a more sensible policy.
So the girls work all day in forced prostitution. They earn, I don't know, some amount of money, most of which goes to pay what they're charging them. This is modern-day human slavery. And we have the White House that is causing it and the media that is refusing to cover it. And it is horrific and it's wrong.
We've had bad times before and we pull ourselves out. Not to necessarily make everything perfect, but we pull ourselves out to make them better.
Are you ready?
Oh, yeah, we're 100% ready. I am Brett Winterble. Great to be here with you. 704-570-1110. You can feel the energy out there. You can feel the energy as we move closer and closer to Election Day in the early part of November. And don't forget, a week from today, we'll be dropping our debut episode for Season 3 of Devious Motives, 22 days to the 2022 election. And we'll be breaking down all the big stories that are out there. Interesting to note that suddenly, like out of the blue today, you have a poll come out that says, oh, there's 56% of the people don't want Joe Biden to run for president again. We don't want him to run for the presidency again. I've got analysis and thoughts on that. Obviously, Gavin Newsom has taken himself out of the running for 2024. Suddenly, it's not that popular of a job to be the president of the United States with the D after your name. I thought we were seeing massive amounts of victory and winning and all of that sort of stuff. But apparently, that's not the case. That's not the case. It is great to be with you. It is a Monday. You can follow me on Twitter and on the Facebook page, on Twitter at Winterble Show and at the Brett Winterble Show Facebook page. Now, who are those three people you just heard from? Vivek Ramaswamy was the first speaker. He is the guy who's leading that new ESG, anti-ESG fund. He doesn't believe in the in sort of the collectivization of investment in our country. The second person you heard was Senator Ted Cruz from the state of Texas talking to the Texas Tribune about the real ugly, unreported side of this human trafficking that's essentially been greenlit by both the cartels and elements inside the White House. And then finally, that third person who did not at all sound upset about the direction of the country because he believes the country can self-correct, change course, do things like that. Do you know who that was? Somebody whose voice you haven't heard in a long time. That was former Supreme Court Justice Stephen Breyer, the retired now Supreme Court Justice. And we have got a new Supreme Court Justice coming in next week. Who has been sworn in, and that's Justice Jackson, who's going to be coming in and taking that slot. I've got some sound from Stephen Breyer. He's got some very interesting thoughts on this country. And to be honest with you, as a progressive, as a liberal, that he clearly is, he's got a lot of decency about him when he's talking about the country, talking about the direction. And I do believe that history will judge him fairly kindly. He's not a bomb thrower. He's not an angry man, even in the wake of the final decision which came out, which was Dobbs. And that was a decision he was a part of in opposition, obviously. But you don't hear him yelling and screaming and saying, let's go torch Kavanaugh's house. Let's go torch Roberts' house. Let's go torch Gorsuch's house. He's not that kind of a guy. He's a person who believes, obviously, in the machine of politics, such as it is at the federal level. But I don't mistake him in any way, shape or form as an Antifa rioter or somebody who's burning abortion clinics under the heading of Ruth Sent Us. None of that sort of, or crisis pregnancy centers, I should say. You're not seeing that in any way, shape or form. I had a really great opportunity over this past Saturday to meet some incredible listeners from WBT who are out there spending time at the Salt and Light Conference. It was absolutely incredible. North Carolina Faith and Freedom put this on and had an opportunity to speak. We'll let you hear a little bit of my speech. If you were there, I certainly appreciated the very, very warm welcome there at that event. And it's the second year I've been able to get out there and spend time with folks face to face, which is really great, because given what happened with COVID, there were much more limited opportunities to connect directly with the audience of this show and of the station, more broadly speaking. And so it was a genuine pleasure. One of the things that people are worried about now is this idea of where we're going with these rate increases, with inflation, with the economy, all of those elements. This has people absolutely worried and perturbed and concerned in such a huge way. And I was struck by something that was a tweet that went out there just in the last hour or so. Dan Alpert, who is a he's a finance guy. He's a managing partner of Westwood Capital. He put out a tweet that I thought was really interesting, especially for you folks that care a lot about the direction of the economy. Here's what he posted on Twitter. America, you had a policy choice. You could pay about 14% more for the stuff than you were paying pre-pandemic in February 2020 for a little while, or you could lose a big chunk of the value of your homes, your 401ks, your securities, and maybe lose your jobs. Are you happy? Now, think about that. Think about what he's saying. He went on to say, I suspect that especially with already widely reopened supply chains, the screamingly strong dollar, and excess U.S. savings in banks plummeting last quarter, that Americans, politicians, and members of the media whining earlier about inflation will shortly question their wisdom. I have a thought on what it is we're watching play out here, and I'm going to share it with you when we get back. 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. That's the phone number to be a part of the conversation. We'll take your phone calls. I am Brett Witterbull, News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. Let's head on over for a traffic report. A Girl Like You. That's a great song. I haven't heard this song in forever. Turn that up there, DJ. That's a perfect Monday song. News Talk 1110. 99.3 WBD. Smithereens, correct? Oh, Smithereens, bro. Come on. When I was in college, the Smithereens existed and the Smiths existed. And I remember getting into an argument with a guy who lived next door in the dorm. I lived in the dorm for 1 year. And he was telling me how good the Smiths were. And he was thinking Smithereens. He's like, they're so rockin'. I'm like, the Smiths? Morrissey, he's not really rocking. You don't even know what you're talking about, dude. They're from New Jersey. I'm like, he's from England. It could be Jersey, England. Unbelievable. 704-570-1110. I want to grab a couple phone calls here very quickly, and I'm going to share with you my theory on the inflation thing that was raised by Mr. Alpert. First, we go to John. Hello, John. Welcome to the show.
Good Monday to you, Brett.
Good Monday to you as well. Hey.
I just want to say I caught you at the Sontlight conference, and you were outstanding. I mean, you weren't no Nikita Koloff, but you were good.
It was fun. Listen, Kane was there. Nikita Koloff was there. They brought the bigs out there, John.
Well, I'll tell you this. For those who don't know, the Sontlight conference is an annual event, and they bring in 25 or 30 nationally known speakers. But you truly, I say this seriously, you were one of the best ones there. And I mean, even you're the local guy, but you were great. And you brought a strong message, and I appreciate that.
I appreciate you being there. And you are a tremendous supporter of this program and this station. And I do very much appreciate you, you being out there, my man.
I was a little disappointed, though, afterwards when I tried to get a picture with you. You smacked the camera out of my hand and yelled no, but...
Now, that's not true. I would never smack a camera out of your hand and shout no. I might shout no or smack a camera out of your hand, but I would never do both of those. I mean,
have a great day, buddy.
Thanks, man. Appreciate you. That's John checking in. Yeah, Kane was backstage with us, but he's not. He's the mayor of Knox County, Tennessee, and he was a tremendously kind man. He shook my hand, and like his hand was like the size of a loaf of sourdough bread, and I shook his hand, and I was like, "Wow, that guy's awesome! Very, very cool." More on that appearance in just a few minutes. Let me take this call from David, though. David, welcome to the program. How are you?
Hey, Brett. How you doing?
I'm well, thanks.
Hey, did you happen to check out the future prime minister's speech recently?
Yes, Maloney.
Wasn't it not amazing?
It was an amazing speech. It was an amazing speech because... And the difficulty here is she didn't give it in English. She gave it obviously in Italian. She has been positively, absolutely roasted by the Pinko Commie leftist press throughout the United States and around the world. And she is a historic figure because she's the first female prime minister of Italy. She is somebody who is a conservative. She believes in life. She believes in raising your families. She yep. believes in all of this stuff. And she spoke very much in that culture warrior sort of vein. And for whatever reason, and I can't figure it out, when I put on Morning Schmo and I put on CNN and I put on ABC, NBC, and CBS, they've got her as like the second coming of Attila the Hun. And I didn't get that from her at all. She's a fascinating person. I'm curious to see what the government looks like and what it is that's going to happen next, because they're at 147% of GDP on their spending. She wants to cut the size of government. She wants to have a rational immigration policy where people don't just show up. They actually have to come in an orderly fashion, which is what some people are talking about here in the United States. And I was very very interesting person and curious to see what it is she's going to do.
I was very moved when I saw it. For me, the speech being in Italian, it just hit right to home because it just felt like so rustic. It just felt like something. It felt like there was such a sacred connection right there, because my favorite part of the speech was when she was like, they just want to take all our identity, the family values away, and they want to make us consumer slaves.
That's an important message that she's putting out there to the people of Italy, because it's an ancient country. It's had problems in the past, and you know, people are trying to hang this Benito Mussolini label on her, and that I don't think is that. I think it remains to be seen how she's going to govern.
Like, I'm looking right at the Google headlines. It says far right leader makes a speech. It's just terrible. Okay, can I say one more thing?
Please go ahead.
Okay, so. I just want to give the people of Charlotte a wake-up call. I live in like kind of south suburban Charlotte, like near South Park Mall and Lansdowne. And just recently on the Citizens app, you know about the Citizens app?
Yes.
Okay, so you know how in L.A. and all the Democratic soft-on-crime cities around the country where they're just doing these follow-home carjackings?
Yes.
Over the weekend, around like 9 p.m., in a very upscale, newly built townhouse area, there was a follow-home robbery where five dudes armed with guns did a carjacking, and they got away with it. And the Ben & Jerry's down the street from me only has one flavor. They only have vanilla. And I'm just trying to wake people up and tell them they have to vote correctly, or our country's going to be gone. Like, sorry, I'm not trying to get emotional, but...
Look, crime is going to be the central issue of this upcoming election. I think that's the important thing to understand. And people are tired of it. The thing about crime is it cuts across every spectrum of being, male, female, doesn't matter what color, what race, what gender, any of that sort of stuff. People become victims of crime, and that is not something that we ought to take lightly or permit. Once you start to lose your communities to crime, it's very hard to get it back. New York City was an exception in 1993. I don't think it's ever going to be able to come back. Let's hope that folks get activated with neighborhood watches and things like that right here in Charlotte. 704-570-1110, News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT. Anna Erickson's got the update. We'll be right back. News Talk 1110 993 WBT. It is the Brett Winterble Show. Okay. So let me dive into this for a quick second. So you see this guy, Dan Alpert, he puts up a tweet and he says, America, you had a policy choice. Pay about 14% more for stuff than you were paying for pre-pandemic, or lose a big chunk of the value of your homes, your 401ks, securities, and maybe lose your jobs. Are you happy? So in other words, what he's saying, he's a very wealthy, high-end investment guy, and he's basically saying, look, you complained about inflation, and then you know what you got? Higher interest rates, the stock market's getting destroyed, your savings are going to go away, at some point we're going to have a deep recession, and now you people are going to be the reason why we have a deep recession, and you're going to end up losing your jobs. Okay, so let's grant for a second that what he's saying is true. Let's grant that for a second. Let's say, okay, we didn't want to bear the inflation. It was getting really expensive. We had supply chain shortages. We had all that kind of stuff going on there, okay? We did not do this to ourselves. This was done by politicians. Politicians literally at every level, and I know literally is an overused term, but literally at every level of government, the House and the Senate, the president, Donald Trump, put a bunch of money out there so people could put food on their table in the worst parts of the recession that was the pandemic in the initial couple of months that we were dealing with that. That was an unusual circumstance that I would put on par, frankly, with almost having a war breakout against our country. All right, we were in lockdown. We were afraid. We didn't know what the future was going to hold. We didn't know how this was going to work. All that sort of stuff. And that, fine, I'll grant that. But we did suffer from inflation, and we did have shortages. You remember at Christmas when Jen Psaki laughs at you and goes, oh, gosh, I guess you won't be able to buy the pink Peloton bike. Oh, gosh. Oh, the crisis of the Peloton bike and all that kind of stuff. Right. Making fun of you that like the elites do. What was the number one thing? What is the number one thing, though, that the Biden administration wants to do more than anything else, has wanted to do more than anything else imaginable? And it's Bernie Sanders' original idea. Redistribution of wealth. The progressives always want to redistribute the wealth. So when you think about $6 trillion pumped into the economy, and now all of a sudden the Federal Reserve comes out and they've got to start tightening money policy. And they, you know, we're at 6%. Maybe we go to 6.5%. Maybe we go to 7.5%, 8%. What do you now have happening? People are going to be locked out of refinancing their homes because people are not going to be wanting to buy houses because the interest rates are too high. So you're going to have a very ugly near term in front of us in this country. Who gets hit the worst? So I'm going to use names. I'm going to use names and try to follow what I'm saying here, okay? Do you think that with this economic downturn and this tightening and all this kind of stuff, do you think that President Trump is feeling it? Probably not. He's got a lot of money. LeBron James is feeling it. Probably not. He has a lot of money. Do you think that Tom Cruise is feeling it? Nope. He's got a lot of money. Let's say you're somebody who has just come into this country, been smuggled into the country, or you've emigrated legally to this country and you don't have a lot of money. You don't have a lot of options. Are you going to be suffering? Yeah, you're definitely going to be suffering. Are there things that you can avail yourself of? Is there welfare? Is there medical care? Is there money programs? Is there relief at the state level or those sorts of things there? Yes. Yes, there are. And frankly, whether you're legal or illegal, you know as well as I do that states are going to avail money and support and services. Who is it that gets punished the most? It's you. It's you who are listening to this show. It's the people I talk about all the time, and I will talk about them until I am blue in the face. It is the strivers. It's the people that quite literally have done everything right. And I don't mean every decision they make is right. I'm saying following the rules of the game. You got married or you're in a committed relationship. You've got a couple of kids. You've gone out and saved and not overdone your debt. And you bought a house or a condo, just something that was a piece of the American dream. You've got a nice job and your loved ones are relatively secure. Things are getting tight, and what you're going to do is you're going to economize. You're going to say, I'm not going to buy bacon every week. I'm not going to get those sneakers for my kid quite yet. We're going to move the cable package down. We're going to delay the haircuts that we would normally take them to get. We're going to do all that sort of stuff. We're going to fend for ourselves. And many of us remember 2008 with the meltdown, and we remember what that was like and the uncertainty and the fear. And we remember the people that you probably knew in your life. I knew some of these people who just put the keys on the counter of the house that they bought with stated income mortgages. They put the condo keys right on the counter and they walked away and they got bailed out by the federal government, and you made your bill payments. You paid your student loans. You paid your business loans. You pay for your health care. You do all those sorts of things, and nobody comes to your house ever and rings the doorbell and says, let me give you a helping hand. They don't do it. You're basically living the typical American experience of economizing. But unfortunately, you went from living in the roaring 80s into the 1970s and all of that morass. And who comes to help you? Does Joe Biden ring your doorbell and try to give you relief? Does he come and say, let me help you out? Does this guy, Dan Alpert, a big swinging investment guy, come to your house? Does Bill Gates come to your house? Does Tony Fauci or Hunter Biden or Kamala Harris or Doug Emhoff, do any of those people come to your house and ask you how they can help you out? Hell no. Your neighbors do. The people at your church are interested in that. But you're fending for yourself. And you know what we're seeing? I'm increasingly convinced of this. And if you disagree, please feel free to disagree. This is what this show is about. It's about a conversation. This is about the redistribution of the money in the country. The government prints the money. The inflation goes up. The downside is present. And who ends up paying? Well, the safety net will be there because Joe Biden is going to shovel more money out. Just look at the student loan bailout program. And you and I, we're on our own. The fireman and the teacher, the small business owner and the plumber, you're on your own. That's how it's always been. I do believe what we're seeing right now in this country is the redistribution of wealth that AOC and the squad and Bernie Sanders vowed would happen. Modern monetary theory, all of that sort of stuff. That's what they knew was going to be coming. That was the price of the support for Joseph Robinette Biden Jr. Surrender to Bernie and the socialist wing at the sacrifice of the American dream. But you and I are going to keep it alive. 704-570-1110, Newstalk, 1110-993-WBT. I am so happy Boomer Von Cannon is back. I mean, I love everybody I work with, but I need me some Boomer booming out there, telling us about the traffic. Come on now.
Thank you, Brett. Come on, man.
Welcome back, brother, man. Come on.
Thank you. It's great to be back. Believe me, it really is.
It's
Thank
awesome.
You, sir.
News Talk 1110-993-WBT. It is the Brett Winterble Show. Let's talk to Tara next. Hey, Tara, how are you? Welcome to the program.
Hey, Brett. So this hits really close to home for me. Very close family member. Didn't pay taxes for 5 years. Owed $373,000.
Wow.
Collecting 17 of his best friends. Very capable of working.
Mm-hmm.
All of them paid stuff. Now, in the letter, you didn't have to pay him back. So what if you gave him, you know, one of my cousins gave him $40,000, whatever. Now, they just got back from a trip from Prague for 3 weeks. How do people do that?
I don't
do
know.
People be, no. Because it's allowed today. That was sarcastic. You know why they do it? Because they can. We are a society that's entitled. He's very capable of working. So is his wife, and she has to like, oh, I didn't know what's going on.
How are they funding? How are they funding a lifestyle then? I mean, if they're not,
We don't know. We don't know how this happened. All we know that is they didn't pay taxes, so nobody knew about that.
Well, I mean, look,
got the letter.
People have to pay. You got to pay taxes. I mean,
No. Okay, let me preface that. Okay, let's go back. He was given $250,000 to start a business for my uncle, and then his son's entire medical school is paid for 100%.
Yeah.
So. You talk about entitled, so then why do you think you have to pay anything, or why do you think you have to work if you've got all that paid for you?
Well, but here's the thing. Here's the thing, though. Okay, people that get up and go to work every single day have taxes taken out on their income. Right? We pay income taxes. I mean, it's very hard. I mean, unless you're putting yourself up as you're structuring it in some other different way. I mean, look. I don't like paying taxes. Nobody likes paying taxes, but it's the cost of life in America today. I want to see a flat tax. I want to see a fair tax. I'll go with any other thing. I don't want my income subjected to the 87,000 IRS agents that are going to be out there. But here's the deal. All right, here's the deal. We're in a situation here where the full power of the federal government will be utilized to defend particular constituencies in getting flights from the border to Maui, to New York, to Chicago. How do you plan to go? If you had to go tomorrow to Denver, if you had to go tomorrow to Boston or to some fancy place, in the country, and you had to get there. Are you able to get on a United States jet? Are you able to charter a plane? Are you able to just get on a plane and go to New York or suburban New York or any of that sort? No, you're not. You don't have that ability. I don't have that ability. So are there tax cheats? Yes. There are people who cheat. There are people who cheat. There are people who pay. There are people who overpay. There's a whole spectrum of people. But what I'm worried about is you're going to get to a place where, and I don't think we'll get to Atlas Shrugging, because I don't think the super wealthy will ever say, we're just going to shut it down and get out of here. I think they've got so many methods and abilities to do what it is that they want in this country. But at the same time, we're in this other place entirely where you come across the border in an unauthorized fashion, and we give you everything. And in fact, TJ, let me play this clip. This is, we teased this at the beginning of the hour. This is Ted Cruz, and he was at the Texas Tribune gathering over the weekend. And he makes a crack up front about Martha's Vineyard and the liberals didn't like it and all that. But he tells a very compelling story on the back end of this. And this is really an incredible tale by Ted Cruz.
You go down to the border. Last time I brought seven senators there, standing on the banks of the Rio Grande. On the grass, you see lots of little colored armbands. Every illegal immigrant who comes over wears a colored armband because they pay typically between $3,000 and $12,000 to the cartels to come over. By the way, there's 100% border security south of the border in that you cannot cross without paying a cartel. If you try to cross on your own, they will kill you. So everyone who crosses pays the cartels. The wristbands correspond to how many thousands of dollars they owe the cartels. And so they show up, and what happens, you have teenage boys who get sent by the Biden administration to every city in America. So you might say, if you're not a Texan, I don't live in a border city. Muriel Bowser, the mayor of D.C., says, we're not a border town. We're not like Texas. We can't handle this. Well, you know what? Every city in America is a border city. Why? Because Biden is sending teenage boys to your city, most of whom owe thousands of dollars to the cartels, and they are working to pay off that debt. And by the way, if they don't, the cartels will kill their families. So they are working and engaging in crimes across the country. And as bad as the boys have it, the girls have it worse, because there are thousands upon thousands of girls who come across, they owe enormous amount of money to the cartels, and they find themselves put into forced prostitution in brothels, where they literally, I've sat down with law enforcement and they describe how the brothels keep a ledger, and it's like an old plantation in the days before the Civil War, where they charge the girls who are there. They charge them for room, for board, for electricity. They charge $30 to come cut an ankle bracelet off. And so the girls work all day and force prostitution. They earn, I don't know, some amount of money, most of which goes to pay what they're charging them. This is modern day human slavery. And we have the White House that is causing it and the media that is refusing to cover it. And it is horrific and it's wrong.
Okay.
So, I mean, think about this, folks. Think about what's happening in your country today. Think about how you're the problem. And yet, you have people here who just don't care about actual human suffering. And welcome. I am Brett Winterbull. Great to be here with you on a beautiful Monday before the big storm starts to move substantially northward. And obviously, we'll be keeping an eye on Hurricane Ian. We'll be keeping an eye on nuclear Putin. All these stories we'll be taking a quick look at. But I want to start this hour by taking a look at something that I think is pretty important. And it's this conversation about whether or not Joe Biden's going to run in 2024. You saw a couple of big movements taking place over the weekend. One, you saw Gavin Newsom announce, I'm not going to run in 2024. It's just not a job that I want. I've survived the recall and I get to be the king of California and I get to do whatever I want and abuse my taxpayers. And I don't need to, I don't need the hassle of getting impeached by the right wing ultra megas there in the House of Representatives. So according to Gavin Newsom, he's not going to run for president in 2024. America weeps. America genuinely weeps at that notion, Gavi, because, I mean, I think you're exactly the perfect exhibit, A, B, C, D, E, F, and G, for how it is you should never manage any institution, be it a business, a state, a county, a council district. I mean, my gosh, you are, well, you're just a festering disaster of epic proportions. But the fact of the matter is, none of us should care right now about who's running on either side in 2024. I'm serious when I say it. I am a political junkie's political junkie. I love the ebbs and turns and flows and challenges that are out there in our country. I love listening and talking and spending time with people that I agree with, that I partially agree with, or that I totally disagree with. I just enjoy the conversation. This is an interesting time to be alive, because one of the stories I'll get into later on is what's happened to Beyond Meat and what's happened to the Impossible Burger. And it's not a debate about what it is you want to eat. You eat whatever you want to eat. That's your business, okay? Just don't eat NyQuil chicken. But the fact is, those companies are regarded as so woke that it's become toxic for the stock. And I think what we have finally seen is the great pushback on woke. Woke has become cliche. Woke has become something that invokes eye rolls by people. Oh, so we're doing the woke thing. Okay, this is all woke. All right, I got it. What happens when you get into that is sort of like politically what you get into when you start to become obsessive about things that annoy your friends and neighbors, like multi-level marketing and timeshares. You start getting into that kind of stuff, and then you're telling everybody that you got to do this, and you got to do it this way, you got to do it that way. I mean, that's just how it's got to be. Eventually, people just go, oh, yeah, you're a timeshare guy. Sorry, you're an MLM guy. I still have a crate of cosmetics in the back of my closet that my wife made us buy because we had a makeup party one day and I had to buy $287 worth of lip gloss and eyeliner. And I'm not trying to make fun of women who are independent businesswomen. Please understand what I'm saying. But when you get into like certain When you get into certain things, the Peloton, Pilates, the different things that become sort of the focus of your life, woke is right there now. I mean, it is right there. You believe anything you want to believe. I will defend, even if it's the craziest ideology under the sun, you have a right to believe a crazy ideology, I guess. I mean, that's who you are. I'm not joining it. I'm not doing it. I'm not marching in that parade. But these companies, and I'm going to get into it deeper, these companies have become so totally paralyzed by an inability to sell their product because of what it represents, this wokeness. It doesn't help that Bill Gates and those idiots that run around in Gatesland are telling you to eat bugs and the how dare you of Thunberg and all that sort of stuff. People are just exhausted. They're exhausted with your causes. And it doesn't mean that charity should be cast aside. It doesn't mean that there are people who are unfortunately victims of true injustice and things like that. But I think we long ago passed the exit on Woke Boulevard. And I think that by and large, people I run into, especially the folks I was with this past weekend at North Carolina Faith and Freedom's Salt and Light Conference, it was pretty impressive. And every sort of person under the sun was attending because they understand the importance of faith in the public square and the importance of being politically activated. And these are the people who just a few weeks ago were being called Ultra MAGA and all of that. I'll be playing a little teeny tiny excerpt of my speech, which ran about 10 minutes, but I'm not going to play the whole speech for you, there at the Salt and Light Conference. But I'm telling you right now, there is a tidal shift happening in our country. It has nothing to do with Hurricane Ian. It has everything to do with, okay, we all got knocked down pretty hard. And maybe we got a little bit politically concussed. And what we have now done is we have sat up. We got our wits about us. We took a couple of days off, couple of weeks off. And now we're ready to get back into this battle because you have had essentially a $6 trillion free run by the people who want to destroy your country. They've spent $6 trillion. They've opened your border. They've gotten us this close to going to actual war with Vladimir Putin, all that sort of stuff. And nobody has been able to quite make it up to the emergency brake in the train, in the emergency brake that tells everybody, hold on, this is going too far. Nobody signed on for Joe Biden doing any of the stuff that he is now doing. We understood that the stakes were bad orange man. And I'm scared of bad orange, man. Those were the narratives. But nobody wants Joe Biden in charge of any of this stuff. Nobody does. I mean, just
do this test on yourself.
I mean, it's true. And by the way, we didn't really buy $295,000 of makeup. That was hyperbole to make the point about the timeshare and the MLM stuff. We usually, like when the MLM people come or the timeshare people come to my house and they ring the doorbell, I hide in the hedges. I dive behind the couch, have the cat, put the cat in the window, and I puppet the cat. I do the puppetry with the cat, Boomer. I go, who is it?
Meow.
No, I don't have a wallet. Sorry. Wrong house. Happy Halloween. I start putting Halloween candy out third week of September.
Oh, yeah.
Just leave it out there in the yard. I mean, what do I need? I don't need it. I mean, it's just a bunch of... Mostly, I'm just giving you a bit of honey and Tic Tacs that are unwrapped. I mean, because I don't believe in pollution.
No.
But I mean, all I'm saying, Boomer, is, you know, I think people want to be left alone. And you know where they want to be left alone? When that dude is on your bumper.
That's the truth.
Thinking he's going to draft you across the finish line there at Carowinds.
They're trying to pull an Earnhardt. What are you doing? Can't.
Is Robin really racing Boomer Von Cannon? News Talk 1110 993 WBT. Let's grab a couple phone calls here. Start with Stan. Stan, welcome to the show, sir.
Hi, bro. I want to talk to you about something that I've noticed over the last few weeks, and that is what's going on in Iran. Right now, there's 80 protests in different cities.
Yes.
And basically, they have literally, like, tortured and executed women
absolutely
for showing their hair in public.
Yes, indeed.
And And we could overthrow that regime. But the problem is, it seems like our government, by going full steam ahead with the nuclear deal,
yes,
and offering them cash,
yep,
is basically trying to further entrench that regime in power. And what I've also noticed over the last several years is, like, when Cuba, they had that protest down there, they were waving American flags. In Hong Kong, they were waving American flags. People all around the world were waving American flags when they were fighting for freedom. And all of a sudden, they're not doing that anymore. And it's because they realize that the American government over here is probably trying to do the same thing to us their governments are doing over there.
Well, you know, it's so interesting because the last time this happened in Iran, it was 2009. And it was the attempt to recall Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, who was, like, you know, really nuts about his about the nuclear program and threatening Israel and threatening all these countries. And people took to the streets back then. It was called the Green Movement. And at the time, President Obama and Vice President Biden wouldn't say a word in support of the people there. And they had helicopters going up and sniping people. It was really nasty what the regime was doing. And this is a complete replay. And yet we have silence on the Iranian front because, like you said, they want to do the nuclear deal. If you look at the pattern of what you have with the administration of the president right now in office, essentially, what he's trying to do is undo everything that was undone in the wake of the Obama-Biden administration. In other words, the border was shut under Trump. We're going to open the border wide open. Keystone XL pipeline was approved by Trump. We're going to cancel the Keystone XL pipeline, and we're not going to do anything but the Green New Deal. We're not going to show support for the people of Iran in 2009. We're definitely not going to show support for the people of Iran in 2022. And here's the thing that's so crazy about this. I believe, I'm going to make a prediction, so everybody put your radar up. I'm going to predict that at some point, somebody who is a loyalist or an ally of the current administration will refer to what's going on the ground in Iran as an insurrection. Okay,
that, yes, they will.
Because they are not for, I've never understood this idea that they are in love with the mullahs in Tehran. They murdered hundreds of American troops in Iraq. They killed dozens of Americans throughout the Middle East. I'm sorry, hundreds. They were responsible for the embassy bombing in 83. They were responsible for a ton of terrorism that was carried out against American and allied interests around that region. And they took the money that the Obama administration gave them on the pallets filled with cash, and they ended up sending all that money up into Syria and Lebanon to continue their aims at destabilizing regimes. This is terrible, and we're not giving the consideration to the Iranian people that we're giving to the people of Ukraine.
No, we're not.
And it's disgusting.
It is.
It is disgusting.
I enjoy your show. I think it's the best show on the radio here, so I just want to let you know that.
Thank you, Stan. I appreciate you, buddy. Thank you so much. This is Terry. Terry, welcome to the program.
Hey, Brett.
Hey, thanks, what's going on?
Taking the call.
Yes, sir.
This is not quite as serious as a Stan's call, but I got a little ditty.
You got a ditty? All right, let's hear it. Let's hear the ditty. What we got?
All right. Liberals are trying to get inside our brain. It's enough to drive us all insane. Biden keeps spending money all the time. Pretty soon we'll be asking, hey, buddy, have you got a dime? And the Dems go on, and the Dems go on. Mm. And that's why I'm a Brett Werbel fan.
Thank
and
you.
And we will go on and on as long as WBT is on the air.
Look at that. Hey, look at that. You know what? You know what? I don't think you've ever done this before. So I'm making it happen for you. You ready?
Yeah.
Hello.
Yo, guys, how you doing?
Congratulations. You're the caller of the day. Brought to you by High Performance Real Estate Advisors.
You're the call of the day.
Thanks, Brett.
You got it. You got it, buddy. I appreciate you. That's Terry. What can I say? I can't top that. Was that the beat goes on? That was the beat goes on? That was really good. I thought maybe he's doing Fire and Rain. Yeah. Oh, but that was only at the White House and in France when Charlie Hebdo got attacked. It's pretty interesting. Pretty interesting when you see this. There's a video. Did you see this video that's out there moving around? This is quite something. I'm going to read this totally straight. I'm not commenting. I'm definitely not mocking. I am. Please note, TJ, this is my respectful voice, right? Is this being noted? Note this on the disgronificator. Okay, here we go. Tucker Carlson delivered a tribute at the California funeral of Hell's Angels biker gang founder. There's a picture of him there with the gentleman assembled paying respects. Did you see this story? Tucker Carlson delivered a tribute at the California funeral. Stand tall, stay loyal, remain free, and always value honor. That's some of what he said. There's a number of pictures here. Tucker got the respect of the Hell's Angels over the weekend when he came from Maine to attend the Hell's Angels founder Sonny Barger's funeral in Stockton, California. There's a photograph of it right here. No. What are you making him laugh? Negative. NDT. No Tucker talk. News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT. Ed Erickson's got the update. News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT. It's not like crossing the streams. It's more like crossing the Bretts, Brett Witterbull and Brett Jensen together again and better than ever. Breaking Brett Jensen, welcome back to the program. Good to have you here.
Thank you, sir. It's good to be back.
I have a question for you. We saw this story over at Carowinds where now you've got chaperone issues. You got to be chaperoned if you're under the age of 17 there at the park, given what happened a couple weeks ago with Carowinds. We've had, obviously, some excitement, not of the best kind, there at football games taking place inside the CMS districts. What do we got going on here? Have we seen a change in the rules at CMS that are similar to what's going on with Carowinds?
That's exactly what we saw. You know, Carowinds last week, you know, they implemented this new rule that you have to be with a guardian if you're in middle school, you know, if you're in high school, anything. Mm-hmm. You've got to be chaperoned now because of all the incidents that they were having with young teens and older teens on the opening night of Carowinds, where, you know, women were being accosted and just all kinds of stuff that was going on. And so then on Friday, late Friday, CMS put out an email saying, going forward at all sporting events, elementary and middle school students will have to be chaperoned by a parent. And so they put it out really late Friday, you know, and there were football games Friday night. And so basically, they had a press conference today at central office to talk about why this was implemented and why it started and what it all means. And basically, it's this. If you're an elementary school student or a middle school student, you no longer can just be dropped off at a high school sporting event like a high school Friday night football and then picked back up by your parents 3 hours later. No longer is the game going to be the babysitter. You're going to have to be chaperoned, and so by an adult. And so they went over the decisions to do that today. And I mean, Brett, you brought up Carowinds. That was my question. Did you do this because Carowinds did this? And had Carowinds not done this, would you have not done this? I mean, and they said they were looking at this, and you know, you've seen other football games and other stadiums in other parts of the states have to be evacuated because of certain possible events where they've evacuated the entire stadium during a high school Friday night football game. And so they just said, look, we want to make sure that in case there is an evacuation, these kids are accounted for, that they're not a 12-year-old that's just left to their own devices to do what they will. And so now, because of what's been going on across the state and in other states with high school football games having to be evacuated, which, just by the way, Brett, and I know I'm going to sound like 1,000 years old, but I can't believe we're to that point where high school football games are now being evacuated.
Well, I mean, it's, look, This is sort of an epidemic across the country, right, Brett? We saw a video over the weekend of a Wawa convenience store in Philly. A bunch of kids ran in there and were carrying on and taking stuff and fighting in the parking lot. We've seen this at Carowinds now. I think we did a great deal of damage to these young folks during the lockdown period. We remember well during the lockdown period in the summer of love in 2020, there were lots of active young people out there. I mean, you were out there covering it. They had skateboards. They had the outfits. They had the whole thing going on. And it was like a big game of cat and mouse with the cops.
No, it totally was. I mean, that's exactly right. And, you know, look, COVID gets blamed for everything wrong in society now because it's the easy excuse.
It is.
But there is a lot of data and there's a lot of stuff to suggest that everything you just mentioned is 100% accurate. And again, I mean, so now we're at the point where in case high school football games and the stadiums have to be evacuated, they want to make sure these 13-year-olds and, mm-hmm. you know, and 12-year-olds are accounted for and have a place to go. And so when asked, you know, do high school students have to be abide by this, like a 14-year-old yep. in the ninth grade? They said, no, this is their school. We want them to go to their school. We want them to enjoy their school. This is only for elementary and mm-hmm. middle school students and for, you know, parents who just wanted to yep. use those games as babysitters.
All right. Can I bring up a call for you here on this point?
Sure.
Okay. This is Dean checking in. Dean, welcome to the show.
Yeah, I'm not sure where this all ends because, you know, it seems like the problem isn't the chaperone. The problem is if they're 12 years old or 15 years old, shouldn't they know how to act by then? Or, you know, I just, you know, do we just keep pushing it back?
All right. How about that, Brett? Your reaction to that question?
Well, that specific question was asked to the athletics director, the CMS athletics director today, when she was talking about the new rule, mm-hmm. Erica Turner. And they said, you know, when do you start addressing this as opposed to, all right, we're just going to address the chaperone thing. When are you going to be able to address the situation that's making kids do this in the first place and act out in the first place? And I got to be honest with you, I mean, that's more of a societal thing.
Sure.
I don't think CMS has anything they can do, anything specific about that. And so, I mean, again, I will tell you this, it all starts at home because not all these kids are the kids that do not have a mom and a dad or
sure.
they're staying with an aunt. Or a lot of these kids are coming from nuclear families that are the root problem in all this.
Mm-hmm.
And so, again, a lot of this starts at home and it's just, again, that it's not a CMS issue and they're just saying, all right, you know what? We're just going to chop this off at the knees before it even becomes a problem. Because as Erica said, if we have an issue and a 12-year-old's left by himself, then we're going to say, well, why? Then you guys are going to ask me, well, why didn't you have chaperoning in place when Carowinds did?
Yeah, see, this is interesting to me because if the kid goes to the football game, like let's say it's a freshman, right? So you're 14
yep.
years old, 13, 14, 15 years old. You go to the football game. You don't have a chaperone. Then what? You're going to call the parents to come and pick them up? I mean, this is, you're going to have chaos. You and I both know that so many folks that are working at these football games, some of them are paid security, understand that, right? They're either off-duty cops
yep.
who are working on duty
yep.
or they're school cops or they're private security. But then you've got, I mean, the ticket is manned by the parents who volunteer their time because their kid's playing football or they're, you know, selling hamburgers and hot dogs and they're just trying to maintain
mm-hmm.
the grill. And then you got to mm-hmm. worry, you got to have someone on bathroom patrol to make sure nobody's doing anything stupid in the bathroom or under the bleachers. I mean, this is really starting to tear at the fabric of society.
No, it really is. And this is, again, and you brought up a good point. So this does not apply to anyone who's in high school, but everyone younger than high school. But
yeah.
to your point, that's exactly what it does. They said there will be usually minimum 9 officers per football game. And a lot of times way more than that with the undercovers and off duty and everything else. But minimum 9 officers, because I asked that question, well, how many do you have for a football game?
Yeah.
And they said, well, it really depends on the game, but always a minimum of 9, sometimes much, much more, depending if it's like a big rival or whatever.
Right.
But that's the thing, Brett. I mean, because here's what they will do. You drop off your 13-year-old son
yep.
at a football game and he's in the 8th grade and he tries to get in, they're going to say, well, how old are you? Or, you know, it's not like kids at 13 years
right.
old have
show
IDs.
Show us your school ID.
Right, school ID. And if you're not of age, if you're not in the 9th grade, they literally pull you to the side and call your parents to come pick you up.
Wow. That's going to, you know, you got a date set up here. You're going to go out afterwards and have some ice cream. Now that's all shot.
But, you know, but Concord Mills implemented this not long, you know, yep. a year or two ago. Sure. And you know, now you got Carowinds. And so this is, sadly, this is becoming the norm, not the exception.
We remember that. Look, we remember the Friday night during the holidays at the mall down in Pineville, yep. Right? You had a race down there, and it was a bunch of other nonsense going on at the same time.
That's exactly what it was. And so that's exactly right. And so, again, this is, they're just saying, you know what? Instead of having an issue
yep.
result because we don't have chaperones, let's just go ahead and implement the chaperone rule.
Well, it's to be continued. I imagine this will also take root at the prom and the date and the dance level. And this is all, oh, boy, you get what you get there, buddy. I appreciate you being out there, Brett Jensen, and breaking this down for us. Very interesting analysis.
Anytime, Brett. My pleasure.
We'll talk to you. That's Breaking Brett Jensen. Follow him on Twitter at Brett_Jensen. This is Boomer Von Ken. Boomer,
yes.
We've actually had people call in saying, we're so happy Boomer's back.
Oh, man.
We miss Boomer. We're
come
so
on,
glad
man.
He's back.
Thank you. Come on, man.
Oh, they're ready. They're going to help you. Watch out. They may throw you a ticker tape parade out there on Independence or something. Man. Just watch out.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
How are we doing on the road?
I need a chaperone.
That's it. Would you be the chaperone for a day? Come on now.
Why not?
You'd be cooler than Uncle Buck. News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. It is the Brett Winterbull Show. Now, some of you are familiar with my position on stuff in outer space. TJ, are you familiar with my position on things in outer space about the notion of outer space going
down? You're a spacist.
I am a spacist, and I'm a proud spacist. I'm not somebody who is into space-type stuff. If you can't explain to me whether I'm up or down in space, how am I to trust any other reality that is space? So I stay out of space. I'm not one of these weirdos that thinks the Earth is hollow. I'm not one of these weirdos that's east of the Rockies, south of the Rockies, under the Rockies, who thinks that the birds aren't real. I know birds are real. I love my parakeets. I love your parakeets as well. You know who I'm talking about. At any rate, I don't like space. I love space on Earth, like get away from me. I need space. I like that, except you people who enjoy the show. Then you can be as close as you like. But we're doing something here that I think is completely out of our skill sets. And this is bugging me. Do you know about the DART spacecraft? Have you heard about the DART spacecraft? So this is happening in the next 45 minutes, half an hour. We could be done for. And I want to be honest with you about that. I mean, not really. No, I do want to be honest with you about that, but I don't know if we'll really be done for. Here's the story. NASA's double asteroid redirection test, the DART, spacecraft will intentionally crash into an asteroid about double the height of the Empire State Building and 525 feet wide. It'll be the world's first kinetic impact technique using a spacecraft testing planetary defenses against an asteroid. This is to, like, in a matter of minutes. On Monday, today, the 19-meter spacecraft will crash into the Dimorphos, which is, I guess, the asteroid thing, to observe if a kinetic impact could alter the course of an asteroid. You ever play a little eight ball? You ever play a little pool? You ever play pool at the clubhouse or anything up there, TJ?
Yeah, I'm not well.
Tommy, you ever play pool? You know, like you aim for the striped ball, or you aim for the solid colored ball, like the yellow ball, and you aim for it, and then suddenly somehow the eight ball goes into the corner pocket and you just lost. What happens when that happens to us? Because we are using these guys at NASA who were like, well, we're modeling, and who knew that the blah, 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 2.5 millimeter twist off would create suddenly a wipeout of Mongolia. I mean, who could have seen that coming? There's a reason you don't throw shovels over your fence into your neighbor's backyard. You know why? Shovels are expensive. No, you might hurt somebody. You might just heave that shovel being like, what happens if this hits their swimming pool? Let's find out. Let's not find out. After the final maneuver on September 25th, that was yesterday. Approximately 24 hours before impact, that was yesterday. The navigation team will know the position of the target Dimorphos within 1.2 miles. DART will then autonomously guide itself to its collision with the asteroid Moonlit. Elena Adams, DART's lead mission systems engineer at Johns Hopkins Applied Physics Laboratory, told Space.com, there's a high probability DART will hit the asteroid and the spacecraft's cameras ejected a few weeks ago will capture the impact. At 17:30 Eastern time, so 5:30, coming up in a matter of minutes, they'll start broadcasting a live stream of the event. In the hours before impact, the screen will appear mostly black with a single point of light. That point is the binary asteroid system Didymus, which is made up of a larger asteroid named Didymus and a smaller asteroid around it called Dimorphos. So there's a stream that you're going to be able to watch. NASA appears to be strengthening their planetary defenses. What? What?
Wasn't there a Ben Affleck movie about this?
Wasn't that the Bruce Willis, the asteroid movie?
Yeah.
But here's the thing. This is why I don't like space, okay? This is why I'm one of these people. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm going to take you behind the curtain here, okay? I will put up with a lot. I'll stay in a seat on an airplane for 4.5 hours and not put my seat back. I won't put earplugs into my ears. I'm able to weather screaming children and stinky drunks. I have the patience of Job in that regard. But what I don't understand is, and I got to be honest with you, and if you want to take me to task, feel free. I don't like tinkerers. Okay? I don't need my thing taken apart. I don't need you to rewire my hoo-ha or my doodad, okay? Stop tinkering. You know what? Flag this tape. The reason we're in this mess in 2022 from top to bottom, whether we're fooling around with coronavirus or monkeypox, is because we have tinkerers. Go invent something, man. Don't go and make a COVID thing. And a monkeypox deal? Don't take my money and give it to terrorists. This is not hard. Don't tinker. You know how back in the 80s there was a slogan that was popular in some municipal areas where they would say, hashtag, which would eventually be that, stop snitching. Stop tinkering. I don't want Aerosmith on an asteroid singing a love song while the now retired Bruce Willis is puzzled. I don't need this. Stop tinkering. We'll tinker when we come back. We'll take your tinker calls. Tinker toys. News Talk 1110-993-WBD. News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. It is the Brett Winterbull Show, 704-570-1110. Good to be here with you. Lots of stuff out there happening. Lots of serious concerns. And some not-so-serious concerns as well. Later on this hour, we'll be joined by Beth Troutman, who will join us in place of Bo Thompson, who will be back, I'm assuming, tomorrow. But we're always stoked to spend time speaking with Beth, especially when we get to catch up there in that 5:20 slot, the crossing of the streams. It's going to be a lot of fun, and I'm looking forward to it. Let me ask you a question, and it's one that doesn't have a set right or wrong answer. I'm just curious to know what it is you think about this. President Biden came out a few weeks back. We all remember the speech that was given in Philadelphia with the red backdrop and the calling out the ultra MAGA and the MAGA people and all that sort of stuff. What does it mean when you hear MAGA or ultra MAGA? When you hear somebody say that, either they're saying it around you or they're saying it on television, how does that land with you? What do you think that they are saying? How do you take it? Do you take that label as a slur? Are you offended? What do you think President Biden, and by extension, the folks that are running for office, what do you think that they mean? What is it? Is it code for something? What are they trying to say? The notion of making America great again, what is that? What does that speak to with you? And I know the answer is probably something that's established by way of comparison, right? Where you say, okay, it means we're going to cut taxes and secure the border and we're going to do all this sort of stuff. What do you think they're intending to do, though, by turning the phrase MAGA or ultra MAGA into some sort of a derogatory comment? Look, people who supported President Trump and who voted for him, and even people who agreed with him, but maybe they didn't vote for him in that go-round in 2016. I think what's interesting about this is you've been called deplorables, basket of deplorables, Islamophobic, homophobic, all that sort of stuff. Does it bother you? Does it have any effect of persuading you to go in a different direction? Or do you just kind of like roll your eyes and go about living your life, or just keep your mouth shut and just go about living your life, knowing what you're going to do? Here's why I raise this, because the polls are a huge issue, right? We're looking at the polls. We've got questions about the polls, all that sort of stuff. But I believe that there are far, 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 far more people that never have been polled and certainly haven't been polled in this cycle than in the past. I also believe that there are a lot more people who are just going to kind of keep their mouths shut, given what it is that we saw on January 6th and the reaction after that, at the Capitol, and the idea that, the FBI is on permanent surveillance. They're looking at you. They're looking at you with suspicion. The TV networks have a rooting interest at making you as miserable as humanly possible. So the thing that I take away from this is, much in the same way they mocked the MAGA hats, the red hats, that sort of stuff, is that people just say, you know what? Okay, I'm not going to wear the red hat. I'm not going to tell people how I'm going to vote, but man, I'm going to vote. And I know exactly what the issue is going to be that I'm voting on. And that issue that I'm voting on is none of what is going on in Washington today. That's what I think is at stake out there. You know, the idea that Gavin Newsom has come out and said he's not going to run for the presidency in 2024. I mean, who does that leave as the likely choice? I don't know. Gretchen Whitmer? Does that excite you? J.B. Pritzker out of Illinois? Does that excite you? George Gascon? Larry Krasner, Eric Adams, one or both of the Cuomos. I mean, like, who does that leave? Kamala Harris? Who is it going to be? It doesn't matter, because you have to get through this election that's right in front of you right now. That's what you have to do, whether you're a Republican or a Democrat, however you're going to vote. That's between you and your conscience. That's between you and your private decision making. But the question I have is, what does that phrase mean, MAGA? I mean, do we take it at its face value and say it means make America great again? Here, let me talk to Doug first up. Doug, welcome to the program.
Hi, Brett. How are you?
I'm well, thanks.
When I hear this stuff about MAGA or ultra MAGA, and as you just said, it means make America great again, I'm taking it to believe that anyone who loves this country is bad, is a bad person. Mm-hmm. And I got a really bad feeling about that.
You get a bad feeling about a person who says that, you're saying?
Correct.
Okay.
That's correct. Because the way I look at it, we're supposed to do what's right for this country first. And then if we can help you out, fine. When you sit there and try to run a global economy or a global government, I got problems with you, constitutional problems with you.
Sure. Oh, but see, there you go.
I hate to hear that stuff.
But there you go with the Constitution. So you go with the Constitution. That's a radical document as far as the
right.
elites are concerned, right?
That's right. That's seen as radical. That statement alone is unbelievable.
Is it? I mean, it's like we're playing Monopoly. Let me check right. the rules. Oh, that makes you a radical for reading the rules of Monopoly. We just want to do whatever we want. I'm so glad you called, Doug. That is a great call, and I appreciate you being out there, my friend. That it makes a very, very important and a very strong point. And that's a big deal. That is a big deal that we're looking at. We'll take a deeper dive into a lot of this. Beth Troutman's going to come by. I'll see if she's got a thought on this thing that we're shooting. Have we done it yet there, TJ? I think it's still we haven't done that yet. Oh, this is great. We're gonna shoot the thing up into the asteroid. This hurricane thing is happening. I mean, Dallas is playing tonight. Dogs and cats living together. What does this mean? Oh, that's a Ghostbusters reference. That's a... News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT, Brent Winterville Show. You know what that theme song means? It means Beth Troutman is in the house, joining us on the Crossing of the Streams. We do this twice a day, 8:35 in the morning, 5:20 in the afternoon. It's a good thing it's not the other way around, Beth Troutman. I mean, if we were doing this at 5:20 in the morning and then 8:30 in the afternoon at night, I mean, we'd be like very confused.
Yeah, neither one of us would be properly awake for either one of those things.
That's the truth. It is good to have you here, my friend. And
I love it. I love being on your show. And I, of course, am a fan of yours. You know this. So I listen to your show as it is. And I really hate to go against the grain.
What?
Because you and I agree on a lot of stuff.
Uh-oh, with what? Well, what happened? What did I do?
I am slightly obsessed with DART.
Oh, the thing where they're going to attack the asteroid?
Yeah, which I feel like they got this idea, which I love that you're playing the Aerosmith song. They got the idea from, you know, Jerry Bruckheimer and Michael Bay.
Oh, my gosh.
Here's my reason why I'm kind of obsessed with it. I do agree with you that it might send things into crazy, like cattywampus.
Yes.
Who knows where this asteroid is going to go. But
right.
I also like the idea of knowing that if we figure out that another giant asteroid, like the one that hit us supposedly 65 million years ago and
right.
completely destroyed the dinosaurs, that we might have an option, you know, that we might have a plan in place. And if we test this out, which this asteroid, by the way, again, I'm a giant nerd.
Yes.
Is the size of the Washington Monument.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's huge.
Didymus. Or Dimorphos, sorry. It is orbiting Didymus, which is the other asteroid that's kind of in its way.
Yes.
Which it could knock that one out of orbit, too, maybe, if this goes in a weird cattywampus way. But
what?
So I am watching this closely because I am secretly, and this is another new fact that I will share with you because I divulge too much information.
No, please.
I have a recurring nightmare.
Yeah.
Or I guess it's maybe a nightmare. Maybe it's kind of an exciting dream that I am being sent to space
Whoa.
On a mission that no one has trained me for. And I'm in the rocket.
It's Whoa. Off,
and I'm looking Whoa. Around going, why hasn't anyone prepared me for this? So because of that recurring nightmare that I'm afraid I'm going to end up in reality,
yes.
I pay so much attention to what's going on in space, like the James Webb telescope and all the dark matter and the black holes and the collisions of the universes. And
right.
and when the Milky Way was visible, I'm just such a dork about all this stuff. So I think we're going to see collision at 7:14 p.m.
Oh my
Eastern
gosh.
Standard Time.
Well, okay. One of the things that I'm looking at when I think about this here, okay, I just, this is mankind.
Yeah, we're tinkering for sure.
I recently flew on an airplane from Washington, D.C. to Charlotte. There were, I don't know, 100 seats on board, and somehow they booked 107 people on the 100-seat flight. Okay,
right.
Mankind is not adept at pulling these sorts of... How do we know? Like, I'm telling you, this could be a 7-10 split. I mean, this could be a problem. What if this is the thing that does something that we never even... And what's going to happen? NASA's going to come out and be like, well, we didn't know that was going to happen.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it could absolutely. I 100% agree that things could go strangely. But here's where I'm going to put my faith in humankind. And
oh, NASA. My gosh.
I think about...
Apollo 13. And when they were stranded in space a capsule that had about as much technology or less technology than our phones do currently, all of those NASA scientists got together with all of the random garbage that was on the space shuttle and figured out, or the space, it was the capsule at the shuttle, and figured out how to get them back. And so I am going to put my faith in some mathematicians who are way smarter than I'm ever going to be. And I'm thinking that they've got a lot of garbage and they're going to make this into something magical.
Okay. Hold on a minute. Wait a minute. This is the issue I have. Those scientists at NASA back in the early 70s with Apollo 13. They knew how to use slide rules. They knew what the Pythagorean theorem was. They had an abacus. They had a quadratic equation. They had all of that. All we're doing, we better hope that the guy has got the right window up and that he's not posting over on Facebook. He's not doing something else and going, oh, did I hit the wrong button? I mean, I don't trust humans to mess around with space. Space is a very dangerous place. And there's no reason. We have everything on Earth we need. Think about this. Okay. Until we can, this is my standard. Until we can put out a volcano, we have no business monkeying around in outer space. I mean, I don't mind going up there. Like Elon Musk, he has to go up and see his people because he's clearly, from nebulous galaxy. But this is...
He's related to Xenu in the Church of
This
Science.
Thing, oh, yes, this thing. I've never been audited, but I know that there are people who enjoy that. And here's the... That was a Scientology reference. But here's...
Well done, by the way.
Yeah, I try. You know, I walked Hollywood Boulevard a couple of times in my youth.
Me too. They used to hand me those things.
Yes, exactly.
Pamphlets.
One guy wanted to audit me, and I said, I audit you first, then you audit me. And he got very upset at me. So he pulled out one of those. He had the shirt with the A on it, like from Star Trek. I don't know what he was doing.
But, yeah, and then was going to have you hold the cans, like the weird cans that you have to hold, and you're like, what?
If your radio sounds funny in the afternoon, we are breaking down astrophysics. okay, here's the other thing, though, Beth. Okay, in all seriousness, we missed this asteroid. This thing goes careening. I mean, I don't know what it is. Like 30,000 miles from us up there is
it's 7 million miles.
Right. But then the 30,000 miles from us over there is like a black hole. We send the thing into the black hole. We suddenly get this thing and we've like plugged up like too much paper going down the bowl. And now what are we doing? It's stuck. It starts regurgitating back at us. It's like shooting hunks of space junk. And here comes Luke Skywalker and Darth Vader. I mean, I don't like this. I think we are pressing our luck with this space. I say, you know what I want? Hashtag ban space. We need to protect it.
I love that you're like clogging the black hole space toilet.
Somebody's got to do that. Who's going to go in there with the rooter? Who's going to root that thing out?
maybe Elon Musk.
He would do it.
Plunger.
He would just go take Twitter and just send it right in there to unplug it.
Yeah, just unplug it. But you know, if a black hole is like some kind of like time portal and it sends an asteroid straight to the black hole to an earlier version of another planet's Earth, and
Whoa.
It collides with it, and then all those people are mad at us.
What if this is how we took out the dinosaurs? What we could maybe stop this? Okay, this could be. I don't want to get too technical. This could be Schrödinger's cat sitting there.
Oh,
you know, two cats in one place.
Well, right now, it is Schrödinger's cat. It's exactly Schrödinger's cat because we don't know if the asteroid is going to be successfully diverted or unsuccessful. So it right now is alive or dead.
Let's put some branding on it and maybe make $1 million.
Schrödinger's dart.
That's very well played. What do we got coming up on the show tomorrow, my friend?
Of course, we have everything, politics, pop culture, entertainment, fun, sports. Bo and I cover it all over the course of a four-hour show. You will, of course, be joining us as well, as will Brett Jensen, which I heard him on your show a little bit earlier talking about the chaos that is, or not, it's not necessarily chaos, but the chaperone procedures that are happening at CareWinds. So I'm sure we'll talk a little bit more about that with Brett Jensen. He'll be joining us in the 8 and 9 o'clock hour and everything else that happens overnight. So be sure to tune in. It is appointment listening.
Absolutely. I hope we have a show tomorrow.
I hope so too. I hope that we are not sending some kind of strange meteor into a black hole that doesn't kill the dinosaurs and suddenly wake up tomorrow and there's a Tyrannosaurus Rex outside my window.
Enough of that. All right. Beth Troutman, appreciate you, my friend.
Thank you.
News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. It is the Brett Winterbull Show. Great to be here with you. You know, one of the things that I am particularly excited about in this crazy, wacky, mixed-up world is the opportunity to spend time with you. And not just here Monday through Friday or on the podcasts that we get to do, but to be able to take a trip with you and hang out with you. And that's why I want to invite you to join me and my lovely wife as we take a trip over to Italy. We're going to be heading out in June of 2023, so just a little bit under a year from right now. We're going to go to Rome and tour the Vatican, see the Sistine Chapel, stroll through the towering columns of St. Peter's Basilica. We'll go to Florence and see Michelangelo's Statue of David. I'm personally looking forward to this family-style Tuscan feast that evening, and we're going to see all the great stuff we want to see, capping it off in Milan. You can get more details, more information on this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. You can get the details by going to cruise-tour.com, cruise-tour.com, or by calling Cruise and Tour at 800-383-3131, 800-383-3131. We're going to do so much cool stuff. We're going to do a bunch of one-on-one activities. We'll be able to talk and get to know each other. I'll be doing a couple of special programs while we're out there on the road and the tour and sharing some of my experiences throughout my career, and it wouldn't be complete without you. So if you want details, head on over to cruise-tour.com, cruise-tour.com, and tell them that Brett sent you. Let me grab a couple of phone calls here. Jim is up next. Jim, welcome to the show.
Yes, Brent, I have the sequel to the Italian cruise with Brett Winterbull.
Well, it's not a cruise, it's a land trip, but go ahead.
Well, yeah, it's a space cruise to the asteroid with Brett Winterbull in 2035.
No, I'm not doing that, man. I'm not going to space. That's it. Nope.
Okay, so
that's a rough neighborhood.
You've had it with the vast expanses of...
I'm not going to space. I don't need space. I got plenty of space here. I don't need space up there. I look at the moon. I look at the planets, you know, I do all that great stuff. I can't, it's not, this, you know, what am I doing?
Right, one step at a time.
Exactly right, Jim. See, that now you're getting it. That's the way you want to do it. Hey, did you know Striketober is looming? Have you heard of this thing called Striketober? Supposedly we're going to have massive amounts of strikes in the country during October, because what does this country need more than what we've currently got and darts and asteroids and whatnot? We need Striketober. That's what we need. We need Striketober, which is U.S. walkouts are looming amid a surge in union activity. Support for unions is on the rise as workers take action to raise pay and conditions among booming company profits. Thousands of workers around the U.S. are going on strike or threatening to do so heading into October amid a recent surge of labor activity in America and just 1 month before the crucial midterm elections. Is that supposed to help Biden? If you have people go on strike at Starbucks, Amazon, Apple, Chipotle, Trader Joe's, Google, REI, and Verizon, I think his presidency would effectively be over, because he's viewed as somebody who is in league with these folks. And, you know, I remember October 1917. You remember October 1917. That was the Russian Revolution. And that's, you know, this is just one of these things where now we're going to suddenly see strikes taking place. You know what? Just nobody needs to go to work anymore. That's it. Except everybody needs to work, because you need food, you need supplies, you need all this stuff. Who's going to pay for the DART program where we're going to go try to knock out an asteroid? I mean, this is all very serious stuff here today. All right, I want to share with you a clip from the speech I gave on Saturday. This is towards the end of the speech, and we went about 10 minutes long. I posted the video up over at the Brett Winterbull Show Facebook page. I wanted you to hear, though, just a little bit of my commentary about the state of things in this country.
I mean, it's a crazy time to be in this country. We have food shortages and massive farms. We have energy shortages and tons of resources. We have an ability to do whatever we want, limited only by the whims and whimsy. Joseph Robinette Biden. Mr. President, here's your pudding. Here's your applesauce. Go sit in the day room. Watch MSNBC where they'll tell you you're winning. Each day from 3 to 6, I'm going to be on the radio and I'm going to be spreading the word, evangelizing the message of freedom and liberty. And let me tell you something. I gave up the F word. Wait, fear. I'm not scared. You're not scared. We are not scared. We are free people born under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all, ladies and gentlemen. This is our time. I feel bad for these guys. I feel bad for them. And we're gonna tell them, when we're done with this, you're more than welcome to come join us at the party. You're not gonna be the first, you're not gonna be the last, but we are gonna overcome. Thank you so much for having me. God bless you. God bless the United States of America.
They played me off with Danger Zone. They played me in with Danger Zone and off with Danger Zone, but it was really awesome. And it was a great opportunity to see some of the tremendous listeners out there who came out to show support. You can see the video over at the Brent Wearable Show Facebook page, except one thing. They put Brent. It says Brent on YouTube. I never understand how, like, you can get a Brent from a Brett or a Brett from a Brent. It's two different names. But I don't take offense. Just don't put me in space. News Talk 1110-993 WBT. It is the Brent Wearable Show. So do you remember when the White House decided that they were going to get rid of Stephen Breyer as a Supreme Court justice? He was one of the liberal justices, and they said, okay, we're going to just leak out that he's retiring, even though he had a whole plan about how he wanted to announce to people that he was going to be retiring from the Supreme Court. Stephen Breyer is 84 years old, and he's sort of a relic of a different time, because he is clearly a liberal, a progressive, whatever it is you want to say. But he's also somebody who says he loves the Constitution and says that he loves the rules of the road that sort of govern our constitutional republic, that sort of stuff. It's just his position is, you know, bigger government and progressivism and all that sort of stuff. But he's no longer a Supreme Court justice. He did an interview with Chris Wallace, and I thought there were a couple of little tidbits that were extremely interesting to me. Chris Wallace asked him, this is going to be cut number 11. Chris Wallace asked him, about this decision to retire, why did you retire? He makes it pretty clear. It was politics.
Why'd you retire? You see, I'm 84 years old. I've done this for a long time. Other people should have a chance. The world does change. And we don't know, frankly, what would happen if I just stayed there and stayed there. How long would I have to stay there? How long are people going to keep in the political world? Disagreeing and so forth and not being able to find who would be the next person. And I owe a loyalty to the court.
Maybe I'm reading more into it than you're saying. Mm-hmm. I sometimes do that. But but it seems like your part of your calculus was you wanted Joe Biden to be able to name your successor.
Well, I certainly want someone to be able to. And you tell me, you're the expert. You're the expert. What are the risks? Because I don't know. If I stay there another year, another 2 years, you know, I'm not Methuselah, and even another 3 years, will it be possible for a president to nominate and to have confirmed my replacement? That's the kind of thing that's in my mind.
Wait.
There have been delays, you know, when the parties split between control of the Senate and control of the presidency. And sometimes long times pass. And I would prefer that my own retirement, my own membership on the court, not get involved in what I'd call those purely political issues.
So the fact that it was a Democratic president and a Democratic majority in the Senate played a role.
You have to be, did it play some role? could have, but it would depend on what the Republicans were.
I mean, it's a pretty smart calculation that he made, if you think about it. He was asked by Wallace if he's worried about the future of this country. This is cut number 10.
When the court undoes a right that people have lived with for half a century, doesn't that very much shake the authority of the court?
Did I like this Dobbs decision? Of course I didn't. Of course I didn't. Was I happy about it? Not for an instant. Did I do everything I could to persuade people? Of course. Of course. But there we are. And now we go on. And we try to work together. I mean, it's a little corny what I think, but I do think it.
From the vantage point of being 84 and 28 years on the court, how concerned are you about the state of the country today and the polarization and the fact that what, you know, you may have had one view of an issue, I had a different view, but we both agreed on the ground rules, and that no longer seems to exist in this country, at least in some quarters. How discouraged are you? How worried are you about that?
Worried. Devastated? No. We've had bad times before, and we pull ourselves out. Not to necessarily make everything perfect, but we pull ourselves out to make them better. And that's why I want those students to go out there and participate. Really? That's what this document's about. It's their country, and it's easier to say as an older person, but I say, my friends, it's up to you now.
I mean, that's something I agree with what he's saying. That it's, things get bad, but there's always a chance to make them better. We have not taken it totally over the cliff, despite what you see on ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, you name it, as everybody's all excited on CNN with the slamming the spacecraft into an asteroid. That is an unprovoked attack on a totally peaceful asteroid. Spencer, welcome to the program. Spencer. You know what happened there? I went to Spencer. I referenced the totally unprovoked attack on the asteroid, and I think he rethought his sort of a framing of mind. I think he said to himself, you know what, Brett, you've kind of got me. Look, do I have to be the one to say this? I think I do. All right. We're gonna flip a switch here so that only you hear me. So only you hear me saying this. Okay, 3, 2, 1. Okay, so now you hear me right now. We don't know who or what is living on that asteroid. We are about to declare war. Interplanetary. I don't mean to be a beastie boy here, but the fact of the matter is we don't know what we're dealing with here. There could be a species of something, space ghost, whatever. We hit them, they're going to hit us. I mean, I don't know that there are weapons of mass destruction on that asteroid. I don't think so. What are we doing starting fights all around? Well, it was one thing, we put up the space thing, went around the planet, looked at the things, and now we're spying on people. You know, Merrick Garland's looking at the people out there. Now, I mean, this is a whole other deal, man. We got to really think about this. You know, we got to really concern ourselves with long-term situations. I mean, they only just celebrated the victory of the Atlanta Braves today. Are we willing to throw all this away? Are you hearing me, Braves Nation? I certainly hope. Okay, we flipped the switch. Now everybody else can hear us. I hope we're going to be back here together tomorrow. I hope we're not all like glowing, going, well, geez, what happened then? You think if they knocked the asteroid into the Earth, is that impeachable? Can he impeach him for that? We'll find out. Thank you to TJ, Tommy, Boomer, Anna, Brett Jensen, Beth Troutman, and each and every one of you. Don't worry, folks. It's all going to be okay. News Talk 1110993 WBT. Tonight, they can all sleep soundly. And